You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 131.
I don't want to wait for 15th. I don't need another judgment day. No, anything the good Lord giveth, Uncle Sam, he taketh away. Cause Big Brother's got a big debt. Baby, guess who has to pay? It's the way you mug me. It's unspeakable pain. It's a personal washout down a bottomless drain. It's abhorrently taxing. It's unbelievable. Kiss this, kiss this.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Glad to be back. In recognition of Tax Day, that's a clip from the parody Kiss This, Hey, IRS, by Robert Lund, who is a very talented comedy singer and songwriter. If that tune sounds familiar, it's based on the country music singer Faith Hill's This Kiss, which was number one on the pop charts back in 1998. So don't forget to stay tuned at the end of my podcast for the full song. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Well, my main topic today is an interview I had with Greg Gulkin, who's the head of platform innovation at Echo 360. Now, some of you may know Echo 360 as being a company that offers lecture capture. Well, let me tell you, I saw a demo, and this is not your father's lecture capture system. I think you'll find it pretty interesting. We discussed their concept of an active learning platform, which includes lecture capture, instructional content management, student engagement, and best of all, analytics and dashboards. So without further ado, here's my interview with Greg Gulkin. So Greg, thank you so much for agreeing to speak with me and my audience today. Pretty excited to hear about what's going on with Echo 360. I'm not sure if you noticed, but I've had sort of a fairly long history with this company, I guess in its various incarnations. Back in 06, it was Espresso Classroom, and I did a podcast then, and later Espresso Coursecaster. And then I guess the most recent one I did was with Mark Jones, who was the president back in, when was that, 08 maybe, or a little bit later. Anyway, you know, after looking at your website, the comment that I guess I come up with, the thought that occurred to me, this is no longer your father's lecture capture.
That's right. Well, Rod, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it. It's great that you've seen the evolution of Echo 360 now through your various podcasts. So absolutely, it's been a evolution for sure. And I think you know, what we've seen is the way that students and instructors are using technology has really provided an opportunity to evolve what lecture capture is and what it means, and really evolve as a company from there. So it's been very exciting. We you know, over just even the past couple of years, we've spent a tremendous amount of time and research rebuilding our platform, essentially, to meet the needs of what's happening in the classroom today, and not what was happening in 2008.
Right. I see you're calling it Echo 360 Active Learning. Can you give us a quick rundown on what you mean by active learning?
Sure. Yeah. So the goal of active learning is really to help faculty incorporate technology to do a few things, really to increase student engagement, to identify intervention opportunities, and to improve student outcomes overall. And so what we think about is how do you engage students really before, during, and after class? It's no longer in kind of, as you, I like your terminology of your father's lecture capture. That was really an after class experience where the student went into the classroom, sat with pen and paper, watched the lecture, and then after the class is over, could go home and review it through the capture. Now, what we're trying to make sure is happening is we've got this great opportunity. I mean, as you've probably seen if you walk into a classroom lately, which I know you have, it's a sea of laptops or tablets or any other device that a student has. I mean, they bring 2 to 3 devices each in many cases. And that's really an opportunity to engage with them at these different learning moments. So not just after class, but now in class, and to find ways to utilize that sea of laptops that an instructor looks out onto. And so that's through new polling opportunities, note-taking, peer-to-peer opportunities, et cetera, to really capture more of that kind of learning timeline there.
Sure. Just to sort of bring my audience up to speed, you know, most folks understand what lecture capture is. So just focusing on sort of your main product there, your base product, I guess, in lecture capture, I have a couple of questions for you. Is this a software product or a hardware product or a combination of the two?
We're actually quite agnostic to where the capture comes from, and we want to be very flexible because there are certainly many different types of classrooms, many different points at which you'd want to capture, you know, what an instructor or student is saying. And so we have a software product that is really built for a desktop or laptop, which we call personal capture. We've got a software capture that's really a podium-based tool to allow capturing in the classroom. And then we have hardware. So we have what we call the SCHD, Face Capture HD, which is an appliance that will plug into a classroom's existing AV equipment. But then we have uploading abilities, and you can link your media library to your Dropbox, your Box, or Google Drive. So, you know, we realize that these moments of capture happen in many different ways today, and we try to be as flexible as possible to those.
In that regard, I'm interested, you know, we have an environment here where we have some hardware-based lecture capture in large lecture halls, and we use a software-based solution in the smaller classrooms. What would you say what criterion would you use to decide if you're going to go with hardware or software in a classroom?
That's interesting. I think, you know, it tends to be what an IT admin is most comfortable with. That's oftentimes what the deciding factor is. You know, it's a funny thing that a lot of what a piece of hardware can do these days is not different than a, you know, a laptop or so forth, but sticking it in a rack where nobody's doing anything other than plugging into AV equipment is a very safe way to do capture. And that's usually, you know, an IT admin decides that that's how they want to handle it. They want something that is a dedicated device that sits in a rack somewhere and just captures. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think, you know, I think generally we see it the more built up the AV equipment is in a room, that's usually when they go to an appliance. And as you said, a smaller room may go with software. And then, you know, I think what we're seeing more and more of is very interesting uses of our personal capture product. And I think that's, you know, that's where active learning really ties into the video part of this, which is, you know, we see instructors going into our sort of rebuilt analytics engine now, where you can see when students are kind of losing touch or disengaging from the content, and can offer them little modules and say, hey, it looks like you're struggling on this topic. Here's 5 minutes extra I recorded to help you understand that better, and to really reach out to the student before it's too late, essentially.
That's certainly, you know, it's technology we use to try to flip the classroom, like you say,
exactly.
engage students. You know, it's sort of going through your website, you sort of divide up the active learning platform into several pieces. I was very interested to see the topic of instructional content management, where, mm-hmm. you know, you allow the instructor to put up content, assignments. Now, what does that mean for your LMS? Is this a replacement for your LMS?
We integrate very deeply with the five biggest LMSs right now. So Blackboard, Canvas, Sakai, Moodle, and D2L. We absolutely recognize the sort of the complexity of the ecosystems that many schools are dealing with now. There's a lot of great, you know, little tools out there, a lot of great big tools out there, big platforms out there, and we believe that we're meeting a very interesting part of that, this engagement and behavior analytics piece of the puzzle, but we recognize the need to fit in very cleanly into that. So we're absolutely not trying to overlap with the LMS, to replace the LMS in any way. Quite the opposite. We're trying to figure out as many ways as possible to integrate, so it's very simple to manage the ecosystem here. But the instructional content management, I think, you know, given that what's happening in our platform more and more is the delivery of these videos in new ways and of presentations and of polling activities. That's another piece we haven't really touched on much, but adding these sort of interactive capabilities on top of your content. These are all need to be, you know, readily accessible for an instructor as they go sort of semester to semester. They want to reuse it. They want to use it in different ways. They want to, you know, take a presentation or a 5-minute video and share it with some individual students or republish it to a different section. Giving all these opportunities and really focusing on those instructional workflows. I guess that's really why we use this phrase instructional content management. We see so many very technical, granular CMSs out there that, frankly, I think scare a lot of instructors because it's doing far more than they want. They don't need to be leveraging, you know, kind of granular security options at 5 levels. They, you know, what I really want to do is I've got a group of students who I want to get this video to very quickly. Help me do that. I want to edit this and I want to add a poll to this. Let me do that. I don't need to be worrying about all this kind of admin level capability. So we kind of distinguish a little bit there to make it clear what we're trying to achieve.
The learning management system here, most of my audience, I guess, knows by now we use Blackboard. And I'm always curious about how it integrates. Is it just a single sign-on, pass-through to Echo, or is there feedback back to the Grade Center, for example?
The main part of any LMS integration is certainly the kind of provisioning part of it. That's really where, and that's the admin benefit, which is, don't need to recreate everything on 2 sides. You've created it in one place, may exist in your SIS or your LMS. So just pass that information over to Echo 360 so it doesn't need to be duplicated. So that's kind of the admin side. But then the real instructional side is on the gradebook integration, where instructors can take this behavioral data that we're providing around how are students interacting with presentations and videos at these learning moments, both in class and out of class, and then bring that back into their LMS gradebook to correlate to outcomes, essentially. Yeah, we're thinking more and more about how do we use this data in conjunction with everything else that's going out there. You know, how do we integrate with some of the larger data warehouses? We're just seeing some really great things out there in terms of, you know, people really building these warehouses that have, you know, true data streams, that it's really happening in real time, that you've kind of got the heartbeat of everything that students are doing on campus. It's very, very exciting. We're trying to make sure that we're constantly building the integrations and APIs to allow our partners to do that.
The third piece, which you've alluded to, is the student engagement. And I was interested to see that you can, you know, do polling and quizzes. So it looks like we don't need clickers anymore because everybody already has their own devices. The thing that was really intriguing, if I have this right, is that you can actually do a poll within a video. Could you explain that?
Right now, what it is, it sort of sits alongside the video. So there's maybe splitting hairs here, but the activity, essentially what can happen is an instructor adds activities to a particular class. And that's great for, you know, in many different sort of pedagogies. You can, if it's a traditional class where you might want to just keep your students engaged during the class or assess how they're learning the topics, that's great. If it's a flipped class and you want to, you know, do the same thing before the class starts, find out where they are before they walk into the classroom. You know, it's a helpful assessment tool. One of the thing that I mentioned that that's all live right now. That's a, you know, major part of the solution is to be able to add these activities into any of the class experiences. What we're now working on is more of the video embedded activities, so that you know, we call gateway quizzing, that will essentially force students to answer questions, pause the video, and they don't move on until they've, you know, proven competency of some kind. So we're kind of exploring some of that a little bit. So there's a lot of really interesting work going on at some of our partner schools, seeing, you know, they want to see how do you develop a curriculum the right way. We're taking the order of modules. So one of the things we're seeing out there is taking these modular sort of 20-minute videos, and they're trying to test for what is the correct order of the curriculum, and doing that through some of these assessments after each video to find out where the competencies are. Very interesting research, but, you know, I think that's a lot of the larger institutions are doing, you know, some really interesting things around those that modular learning.
Already, I can see a number of pieces that we plug into Blackboard that Echo could substitute for. One of the things that we're looking for, and I don't know that we've found a solution for yet, is during the classroom, we've looked at a number of products that offer what I guess you could call as a back channel. You know, while the professor is in front of the class, maybe they're giving a lecture. Is Echo 360, can that be used to allow students to sort of, instead of raising their hand, to sort of ask a question and bring it to the attention of the instructor in a live situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the in-class experience, we've got a lot of great capabilities around that. So just to kind of walk you through a little bit of what we're seeing is, in class, the instructor, at the very minimum, if they upload a presentation into Echo 360, that's then available to the student. That's value right there. You know, you've got the attention of the student on the other side of that tablet. You've already done something that's going to engage them further. But then the students have a number of engagement tools they can use around that content. So as you mentioned, sort of the back channel questions, there is a question capability within the product for in-class experience for students to be able to ask questions about what's happening in the class. And we've seen that used by sort of peer-to-peer, where students are speaking to each other and answering each other's questions live. We've seen in larger formats where there may be a TA, that the TA will be sitting up in the front of the room answering questions. And then we've seen in many cases that the instructor will be, take a pause every once in a while, see what questions came in, and respond on the fly in class there. And the great thing about that is what we've added is an anonymous option, which is very powerful for students who may not be comfortable raising their hands. Even if it is a class in which that's appropriate to raise your hand, there's still a number of students who will sit at the back of the class and aren't comfortable doing so, and this gives them an outlet to participate in more and more in their comfort zone. But the other thing to mention in that sort of in-class experience, which we're very excited about, is our note-taking capabilities. So the students can take notes alongside the slides. It all gets auto sort of tagged to the correct slide, so that when they come back and review their notes from class, they can click on anything and it'll bring up the content that was that they were looking at as they took those notes. So historically, they've probably used Evernote or Microsoft Word or used pen and paper, and it's been kind of a list of notes. Now they can do the same thing within our platform, and it utilizes that context. So they giving even more value to the note-taking experience there. So it's been a big focus of ours to try to achieve that engagement of students in the classroom. And then obviously, the end goal of this is we want to do two things. We want to engage the students, and then we want to provide some predictive analytics and actionable data to the instructor back. So if you think about all these things that we're talking about with viewing slides and taking notes and bookmarking things and asking questions, this can all be fed back in ways to the instructor that they've never had. They've never had these insights on a slide-by-slide basis or a minute-by-minute basis if there's video about what their students are doing, where they're confused, where are they engaged and disengaged. And now we can give it back to them in a very actionable way.
Yeah, of course, the products we're currently using have analytics, but in my experience, they're daunting to figure out how to use, and the faculty are just not going to take the time to do it. So I'll be happy to see that this is much more usable and user-friendly for our faculty, to give them, I guess, dashboards. And you call it an engagement score, for example. Is that something that measures, how much, if the student's sitting in class and they're on Facebook instead of Echo, I guess you'll know that somehow?
Sure. Yeah. So the engagement score is an interesting concept, because we did a lot of work around this as we were rebuilding our analytics engine here. There were two insights we had through working with many, many instructors across the world, really. The first was, all this data is great, but it's too much to do to really draw conclusions from if you're not rolling it up for me. Many of these instructors, most of the instructors are not data scientists. A few are, but most aren't. And so if they're dealing with a class that has 200 students, feeding them 15 metrics per student is not particularly useful. as you know, in terms of drawing conclusions. It was pretty clear feedback, which was roll it up somehow. Give me a score. Show me when my students are engaged and when they're disengaged. A lot of the, you know, the research we've seen and done on our own has shown that things like taking notes during class is correlated directly with outcomes, as is viewing number of times you've viewed a slide. There are a number of these very basic engagement components that actually you can draw a very clear correlation with eventual GPA. But what we found out, the second learning we had as we were doing this research was the equation to build this engagement score is different from instructor to instructor. There's so many different pedagogies, so many different teaching styles. Every instructor is trying to get something different out of their students in different ways. So, you know, we couldn't come up with the way that, you know, in some classes attendance mattered more, and in others capture views were incredibly important. In others, the, you know, activity participation. And so what we actually did is we built a very simple dashboard to allow the instructor to define that metric themselves. So it's very simple, 5 or 6 sliders that the instructor basically says, this is how much attendance matters to me. So they drag it all the way over to the end. Capture views matter to me. Notes, Q&A, presentation views. So they basically can go through these metrics and determine on these sliders what matters. And it draws this new weighting for them of all these metrics. And the system then calculates that for all the students in each class and then rolled up to the course as a whole, and really puts that power of the analytics back in the hands of the instructor to use it the way they want.
Wow, that sounds very cool. We're almost out of time. I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions from the point of view, I guess, of a system administrator, because I do have a few of those sorts that listen to my podcast. Where is the content hosted? Is it hosted at our institution or in your cloud? How does that work?
The active learning platform, as we call it, our newest product is fully cloud-based. So it's all stored in Amazon's S3, which, as I'm sure you're well aware, is becoming the most affordable way to store anything, is to put it, you know, Google and Amazon are having a nice little competition, which helps the rest of us out. So it's all cloud-based. And one of the things that we, you know, really focused on from our years, of course, of lecture capture was making this incredibly manageable for the IT admins. And one of the challenges we saw was having this enterprise software on premise that required much bigger support levels from our partners. You know, so we've moved to a totally cloud-based solution now, built mainly on the Amazon AWS stack and hosted fully in the cloud. So it allows us to be more reliable, more redundant, more scalable. We push updates much more quickly. We can, you know, improve the product in a much, much faster fashion. And it's, you know, it's been exciting for the, you know, first number of months that the product's been out to be able to really push things much more quickly and to you know, keep that burden off of the IT admins as much as possible.
One more sort of miscellaneous question about lecture capture. Does your hardware and software solution allow live streaming if you have a remote classroom that wants to tune in?
Live streaming is really it's mainly hardware right now, but yes, absolutely. We've been seeing more and more of the live streaming components and seeing interesting new uses of that. We're kind of seeing some blended classrooms where some students are online and some students are in person, some live. We've got a number of partners who are doing online classes only, and some interesting examples in the Middle East where men and women aren't allowed to be in the same classroom. So they're live streaming to half the population and the other half is sitting in the classroom. So
how about that?
Yeah, it's very interesting to see how all the opportunities for live streaming, but we're seeing more and more of that lately.
Very cool. Well, listen, this has been great. I know it's for my listeners, it's hard to get a real great picture until you see some of this in action. Certainly on my show notes, I'll have links to the Echo 360 site. And I know you have a number of videos out there that give some more explanation and some demonstration. So that'll be great. Is there anything else that we missed? Anything else you would like to tell us about? I mean, all this is new to me, but you might have something else that's even newer that's coming down the pike. Any closing remarks?
No, I think, you know, what we're trying to do now is really where the product's been out, this new product has been out for, around 6 months now. We're spending a lot of time with partners now doing research. I think, you know, sort of through a number of the bits of research we've done historically and the research that our partners have done, we've seen, you know, great correlation between engagement and GPA. I mean, on our, you know, we've seen University of Ottawa released this research project they did with our lecture capture product that, you know, was showing the substantial increase in engagement and actually a 10% increase in final exam grade, which obviously that's a very meaningful number in this world. And we're trying to, you know, really push that forward and really help people understand active learning and the benefits of it and working with partners to do even more research on it. So, you know, we're excited to spend time with on campus and really understanding the pedagogies that people are using and trying to help quantify the benefits there. So, it'll be an exciting year watching it really get out there.
Well, it sounds great. It sounds like a great product, and I want to thank you for taking some time and telling us all about it.
Yeah, of course, Rod. This is great. Thanks for having me. Very fun.
So I hope you are as intrigued as I am with the active learning platform from Echo 360. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and certainly look for the links that I have on my show notes. And stay tuned for the parody, Kiss This, Hey IRS. Until next time, have a great week.
April 15th, I don't need another judgment day. No, anything the good Lord giveth, Uncle Sam, he taketh away. 'Cause Big Brother's got a big debt. Baby, guess who has to pay? It's the way you mug me. It's unspeakable pain. It's a personal washout down a bottomless drain. It's abhorrently taxing. It's unbelievable. Kiss this, hey IRS. Kiss this. Doing taxes ain't so scary. Simply add up what you made. Oh, take it to the actuary, where he subtracts the tax you've paid. Then you mail in twice the difference, plus a check for Medicaid. It's a Form 1040. It's a penalty clause. It's inscrutable worksheets. It's nonsensical laws. It's unspendable income. It's undeductible. Kiss this. Hey, IRS. Kiss this. You can tax me on my taxes, then you tax the funds that remain. Oh, you can tax me on bikini waxes for a jolt of similar pay. Oh, slap on sadistic audits, don't let anything pass. You've bent me over, so kiss my assets. It's the way you mug me. It's relentlessly lame. It's aggressively wasteful, this unwinnable game. It's unsportsmanlike conduct. It's undepreciable. Kiss this. It's criminal. Kiss this. Kiss my bottom line, baby. Kiss my bottom line, darling. Yeah.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.